Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. You're going to have an interesting class time today. We've been studying Sunday school lessons that were written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of 1923. I have all of these Sunday school lessons in a little hardback book that was printed at that time as a guide for the teacher as they studied the scriptures, and we're almost through with that little book. And at the end of this, we're going to close the book of Sunday School Lessons for 1923 and open the book for the Sunday School Lessons of 1924. And I'll show you things to come. At the end of our lesson, in our last class, we were talking about Jesus and His reign on the earth and how He reigns in His holy mountain, the church. There's a couple of pieces of poetry at the end of that lesson I didn't get to. And then we're going to have a quick little review. And we'll do that in just a moment. I need to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, in talking about the reign of Christ in His holy mountain, Christ is King and the church is His kingdom. We have these two pieces of poetry from famous English poets, one of them by the name of Longfellow. Peace, and no longer from its brazen portals the blast of war's great organ shakes the skies, but beautiful as songs of the immortals, the holy melodies of love arise. And this one from Bryant. No trumpet blast profaned the hour in which the Prince of Peace was born. No bloody streamlet stained earth's silver rivers on that sacred morn. And so I turn the page, and we have a review lesson on the world before Christ. Because we've been studying how that God had always intended for the gospel to be preached into all the world. All the way back to Abraham. It was through him that all of the families of the earth would be blessed. And we see this fulfilled when Christ comes and sends his apostles into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. And then we've been studying how the church indeed go into all the world, every nation, every tribe, every ethnic group, every economic group, all coming to the same gospel. Because we all together must believe and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. The golden text for this little review lesson is Psalm 145 and verse 7. They shall utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The devotional reading is from the letter that Paul wrote to Titus. Chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a people for his own possession, zealous of good works. And so there's a memory verse, a verse you're very familiar with. You probably already have it memorized. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And so in this lesson we come to the end not only of the quarter but of the year of Sunday School Lessons for 1923. We should know a great deal more of the Bible now than we did at the beginning of the year. and we should be better in every way. Studying the Bible is far more important than, and far superior than studying anything else in the world and all other things in the world put together. Some other things are studied for the sake of knowing them, but not for the special daily use of them. The prime purpose in studying the Bible is to do daily the will of God. Without daily obedience to the will of God, our knowledge of it becomes sin. Because to know to do good and yet do it not is sin. James chapter 4 and verse 17 says, "To him therefore that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. As it is foolish to learn and yet not do the teachings, so it is foolish to learn and not do the teachings of Jesus." The golden text says we should show in praise and gratitude that we remember the great goodness of God. We should praise him for his goodness and love him and our fellow man because he first loved us. He is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. A little piece of poetry by R.W. Gilder at the end of this Sunday school lesson says, "What babe newborn is this that in manger lies? Near on her lowly head his happy mother lies. Oh, see the air is shaken with white and heavenly wings. This is the Lord of all the earth. This is the King of kings." Now with that, I'm taking this little Sunday school book and closing it. The pages in this little bound book from 1923 are very brittle, and I've had to be careful as I've turned the pages page by page and used it to guide us through the Bible. I will soon be returning it to its place on my bookshelf, where it will sit there silent. It has been silent for many, many years, and I was so glad to be able to take it off of the shelf and give it a voice over this radio. As we study these old lessons, I'll return it now. It will sit there again in silence, possibly many years to go. And I hope someday another student of the Bible will remove it from its shelf and read these words and let those words guide them into the Bible so that the very words of God given by the Holy Spirit can live in them and in their hearts as it does in our hearts when we have heard these things. But I'm taking another book off the shelf now, and this one too has been silent for many, many years. It has a little green cover to it, and it's the next volume of Elam's Notes. On the front of the book we read, "Elam's Notes on Bible School Lessons 1924, Improved Uniform International Series." And so I open this book, and we see there's a picture of the man that wrote these books, E. A. Elam, a distinguished old gentleman with round spectacles and a mustache. And under this picture, this is written, which was a famous saying of his, "For truth and right, always the same." E. A. Elam. This is a little book that was printed by the Williams Printing Company in 1923 for the Sunday schools of 1924. We read that the Bible texts and quotations used in this volume are taken from the Standard American Edition of the Revised Version that was copyrighted in 1901 by Thomas Nelson and Sons and used by permission. We know that volume today as the American Standard Version. And in preparing the lessons of this book and his Bible lessons for 25 years past, the author has drawn invaluable information from all available commentaries, histories, dictionaries, chronological tables, etc., and has endeavored to give due credit and proper form in all direct quotations. But he wishes further to acknowledge his indebtedness to all these for information that he has expressed his own language. And above all, He is greatly indebted and most grateful to that thoroughly conscientious and most profound teacher, the Word of our God, Brother David Lipscomb, who is now resting from his labors while his works live after him. Let me show you where we're going to go. The 1924 Sunday School lessons begin with an outline of Old Testament history from Abraham to Solomon. It will continue in a second quarter with an outline of Old Testament history from the division of the kingdom to the close of the Old Testament. And then in the third quarter, we will be studying the life of Jesus, a harmony of the Gospels. And that study will continue into the fourth quarter. And so we've got a lot to look forward to in this lesson. There's little charts and helps in this little book that I cannot really use very well on the radio, like a chronological table with the usher's chronology dates from the creation to the birth of Christ. And then there's a table from the birth of Christ to his ascension, and the harmony of the Gospels, in which we have texts from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, laid out one after another, so we can put the whole story together by studying that harmony. And then there is a chronology of the New Testament containing the book of Acts and of the epistles, showing when the epistles were written, with dates all the way down to AD 97, when John is writing the Gospel of John. Now here are Elam's notes on the International Sunday School Lessons Improved Uniform Course for 1924. And I think it would be good for us to study this introduction. In the lessons for the next 6 months, we are to study the Old Testament. Some say they regret when the lessons are in the Old Testament, and this is a serious mistake. And the writer indulges the hope that when we shall have studied all these lessons of this 6 months, all with him will realize that it is a great mistake not to study the Old Testament. God would not have preserved it and so connected it with the New Testament if he had not intended for us to study it now. He exhorts us to study it in 2 Peter 3, verses 1 and 2, the sacred writings, which Timothy knew from childhood were Old Testament scriptures, and it says they were able to make him wise unto salvation, and that they led to faith in Jesus of Nazareth as the Christ of God, 2 Timothy 3, verses 15 through 17. Paul and Apollos reasoned from the Old Testament scriptures that Jesus is the Christ, as we see in Acts 17, 1 through 3, Acts 18, 27 and 28. And these scriptures testify of Jesus. That is what Jesus said. In John 5, verses 39 through 46, he said, "These are they which testify of me." We cannot understand various references in the New Testament to passages, principles, and facts of the Old Testament without studying the Old Testament. Occasionally, one will say that one does not have time to study the Old Testament. Well, if so, one does not have time to obey God. Others say they cannot become interested in the study of the Old Testament. That is because they're not interested in the works of God, his dealings with the nations of the earth, the history of his people, his purposes, promises, and prophecies concerning the redemption of the race, and his evidences that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ. And it is because they do not read it enough to understand its characters and its history. To become interested in its study, one should read it regularly and sufficiently to become familiar with places and characters and histories and facts and purposes. Consult the maps. Learn what the prophets, kings, and other prominent persons were contemporary with. Read both the Old Testament and the New Testament through consecutively, reading some in it each day. When reading the New Testament, look up the references made to the Old Testament, for in this way the Old Testament will soon become both interesting and profitable. Well, we are looking forward to these studies in these lessons for 1924.